Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
This transformation metamorphosis series. Transformation in the Greek, that word metamorpho. The change that should take place when you say yes to Jesus. Most of us, church, and this is not my notes, but just as I've been chewing on this the last 2 weeks and just letting God just marinate and meditate on this, I just come up with these thoughts, and then I try them to God, and sometimes God says, yeah, don't say that. That's not what that means, or yeah, say that. I think most of us, when we come to Jesus, most of us, we love to talk about the transformation of our destination. That I'm no longer going to hell, but I get to go to a real place called heaven. Anybody headed to heaven at the end of your life? That's a good thing to shout about. It's a good thing to celebrate. However, when you said yes to Jesus, what we read here in 2 Corinthians, it's not just the destination that changes. The vehicle changes. What you say, what you do, who you are, all of that, God wants to become intimately involved in every detail of your life. And it is amazing to me that we have men that will change everything about them when they start dating a woman. They will allow her to dress them. Come on, somebody. They allow them to change what they do and hobbies. And some of y'all never went to a pumpkin patch till you got together with her. You never went to a nursery to pick out plants. And we're so easy, and I say we are so easy to give ourselves to people and allow them to change things about us. But we are so stingy when it comes to God sometimes. And we don't allow God to have this section of our life or this corner over here or that decision is mine and mine alone. But I've come to tell you at 42 years of age that I've learned to just relinquish control and say, God, every time I take the steering wheel of my life back, I crash and make a mess and have to invite you right back in. So more than a Carrie Underwood song, it's a prayer. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, keep the wheel. I'm fine riding shotgun and I'm down to go wherever you go and do whatever you want to do. So we've talked about being transformed by Christ, converted to Christ, and we won't jump into all of that. You can jump on the podcast where all that is available for free. But last session, 2 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be converted. That word converted in the New Testament is not used much at all in actually all of the Bible. But in Acts 15:3, it uses the word converted, and I'm glad that it does because of the way it uses it, and especially with what's going on with Palestine and Israel. Acts 15:3 says, the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. Now, I'm glad, as a half-German, half-French man, that Jesus opened up heaven and a relationship with him to the Gentiles, because that's what I am. And unless you grew up and are of Israeli descent and a Jew, you should be thanking God right now for making a way for us to be grafted in and be converted to Christianity or a child of God. Conversion, in my greatest in the Greek translation, would be transmutation to switch natures. Some of you, when you look in the mirror, you don't even recognize how far you've come and what God has done in your life. Not just what he's done in your life this year, but if you look back 10 years ago, or you looked at the college version of yourself compared to the 2023 version, or the high school version, or the clubbing version, or the religious version compared to who you are now, you are a different person. Your very nature has changed. Someone posted this week as a reminder of something I said last year, and it's something that I've heard so many times, the argument so many times from people who have chosen a different lifestyle is I was born this way. And I'm not here to argue whether you were born that way or not, but I will remind you that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so you must let that nature die and transform and go through the metamorphosis process to become what God has called you to be. Somebody say amen. So we make Jesus choices every day to transform. But let's jump into some new material. We're going to talk about what it means to go through that metamorphosis with Christ. I've got good news for you. God does not tell you and I to transform, to change our nature and to become a new person. He does not call us to do that and then leave us to our own devices. He said, I will be here to help you every step of the way. I will be here to help you get delivered from that habit or that way of living. I will be here to help you learn to live that new and living way, as Hebrews says. Can I remind you, child of God, you are not on your own. You are not by yourself. When you leave this church today, you're not leaving the presence of God at your seat or in an altar. He wants to go home with you, to work with you. He wants to go everywhere you go. This is a process with Christ. Not for Christ, with Christ. With Christ. I can do all things through Christ. If it's through Christ, it has to be with Christ. In this series, we have likened our transformation to the process a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. Caterpillars must go through a time of isolation in that cocoon on their way to being a butterfly. But sometimes, church, it is hard to transform in the old environment. Isn't it amazing that a caterpillar cannot become a butterfly until it gets by itself and cocoons itself? There are some of us that are wanting to go through metamorphosis, but we are still staying in the same environment. And God is saying, I need to pluck you out of that environment. I need to isolate you, David. I need to isolate you, Moses, Esther. I've got to get you away from them so I can transform you to be what I've called you to be. So he has to get us away from the caterpillar environment. Some of us, transformation is not working in 2023 because you are asking God to transform you in that situation. And God is saying, I'm going to transform you for that situation, but I need to move you out so I can get all of that mess out of you. Remember this, God delivered Israel from Egypt in a matter of hours, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. Say, well, man, I haven't been to the club in 6 months. Yeah, but the club's been in you every day. Yeah, I ain't slept with somebody that's not my husband or wife. It's been a year or two. Yeah, but you've been hitting up pornography every time you get a private moment. You might not be in the environment, but the environment is in you. True transformation happens when Christ takes up residence in our lives and there is now no room for anything else. Is that too much on a Sunday morning? It is hard to transform in the old environment. It is hard to transform with old friends. Those friends will become your missionary field after you have cocooned for a season. In my experience, check this out, because we're real big. I say us. We are really big on deleting people, blocking people on Facebook, blocking their number on our phone. But I've come to the realization in my experience, you don't even have to cut most people off. Because most people can't handle you in the cocooning season of your life. Most people don't like the butterfly version of you, so you never have to cut them off. They will cut themselves off. They say things like this. Yeah, you can't hang out with Brandon no more. Brandon thinks he's better than you. I'm not better than you. I'm just now the temple of the Holy Ghost. I've been transformed. And so you expect me to be the old Brandon in your presence. And the new Brandon ruffles the spirits that you're carrying, the things that you're going through, and the things that you are wanting to do. I don't have to cut you off. Hey, you can roll with me. But realize we're going to be tongue talking. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be praying. We're going to be getting down like saints get down, not like the world gets down. And if you want to cut me off, cut me off. But if I were you, I'd get as close as you could to me. Why? Because my cup runneth over daily, and you're going to get the splash over effect of someone who has gone through metamorphosis and truly been transformed. This is the thing. Most of their demons can't handle the transformed you. You don't even have to cut them off. They cut you off. Man, all they do is talk about Jesus. Come on, you got family members. Wait a minute, you're going to church twice a week? Wait a minute. You showed up at 7:30, at 7:45 on a Sunday morning to get ready for your Sunday school? You're doing that for free? No, I'm doing it because I've been freed. I'm there because just like an educator, just like a doctor, just like a lawyer, there is something called continuing education. And church, I am free, but I'm still getting freed, praise God. I am transformed, but the process, sometimes after I've been a butterfly, God says, all right, cocoon again, because I'm getting ready to take you to a place that you have never been. Man, I was watching social media this week, and our friend Torre Roberts came on in just a 30-second clip from Woman Evolved 2023, and I love that God is speaking to him and us on the same wavelength, because he said, you've seen a caterpillar go to a butterfly, but one thing that you have never seen is a butterfly revert and go back to a caterpillar. I've come to tell somebody today, do not let the old environment, do not let the old flesh drag you back to who you used to be. Do not waste your cocoon season. Do not waste that metamorphosis. Everything you had to go through, everything it cost you, everything that you had to face to get here. I'm not going back to a caterpillar. I'm flying now. Why would I crawl? I'm not going back to a caterpillar. Slow. I've got moves. I can fly. I've got speed. I can die. I've got all of this. I'm not going back. So here's the thing, church. Don't ever start the transforming process if you're not willing to stick to the process. Because the last thing you want to be is a caterpillar with wings. Let me say that again. The last thing you want to be is a caterpillar with wings. Your wings aren't formed. See, some of us, oh yeah, Pastor, on a Sunday, I'm committed to the process. Yes, Jesus, have your way. Yes, Jesus, move all, no limits, God. Every part of my life you have access to. And in the cocoon season of your life, when it gets uncomfortable, halfway through you say, all right, God, I'm checking out of this. You say, I would never do that. You realize most people that go to rehab relapse. Most people go through rehab and they relapse because they don't finish rehab, or they don't change their environment. Can I encourage you today? The last thing you want to be is a caterpillar with wings, because you're not going to fit in with them, and you're not going to fit in with them. You're going to have too much of the world stank on you, and you're going to have just enough righteousness in you and on you and in your brain that you ain't going to be ready. You ain't going to be able to club right or church right. The caterpillars are going to say, you look different. Why you got those wings? Well, these wings are made for flying. Well, I don't see you flying. That's why you have to be careful when you say that you are a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. What you are saying is, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and what he did, I can do. What he tells me to do, I can do that. But what you can do is say, yeah, I've got wings to fly. I just can't fly. Because now you're a bad representation of all the other butterflies. If you ain't gonna live it, quit telling people what you are. If you ain't gonna live it, quit telling people you come to Living Way Church. Quit telling people you're a believer, because you are not until you've been through the metamorphosis process, until you are filled with the Spirit of God, until you allow God to call the shots. You are a caterpillar with wings masquerading as a butterfly. And for those of us that have been through the process, it's hard not for us to be offended when it has cost us things. People have walked out on us. People have stabbed us in the front. People have gone to war against us, cost us position, cost us relationship, cost us opportunity. And for you to say, I'm a butterfly, no, you're not, unless your wings work. And my wings work. and most of the people in this room and online, our wings work. What does that mean? Our prayers are answered. We know that worship changes the atmosphere. We know the Word of God is a foundation for us to stand on. Praise God. You don't have to cut them off. They'll cut themselves off. The power of metamorphosis and transformation is this, that once you've truly been transformed, you can never go back to who you used to be. We burn our bridges. You've heard me preach it. The greatest miracle in the Old Testament is God not opening the Red Sea. It's the fact that he closed the Red Sea. Because Hebrews says that the people in the wilderness, if they had had a chance, they would have returned to slavery in Egypt. They would have got halfway through the cocooning process. And when God was pressing them, when God was stretching them, when God was doing things that made them uncomfortable, they would have said, man, I wish we could go back to being slaves. That's how messed up the enemy gets us. But the fact that he closes the Red Sea, so when they turn around, they said, we can't go anywhere but forward. We can't go anywhere but towards the promised land. We've come out of the caterpillar season, and we're in the cocoon season. And for 40 years, they were in the cocoon season. But here comes along Joshua. And Joshua in chapter 1, I don't know why we're going here, but it's for someone today. Joshua chapter 1, this is what he says in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. After God tells him, he moves throughout the company of caterpillars that got wings on their back. And he says, you need to get ready, for in 3 days, the caterpillar season is over, and we are crossing over the Jordan into a promised land. Can I encourage somebody? You're not a caterpillar anymore, but you have yet to become a butterfly, but you are in the process of metamorphosis and transformation. And I've come to tell you, in 3 days, in 3 months, God is getting ready to take you from point A to point B. And I need somebody to say, no matter how it goes, no matter how rough it gets, no matter how uncomfortable I get, I'm committed to becoming what God has called and created me to be. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm supposed to be yet. But man, I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. I can't go back to crawling because now I know how to fly. I can't go back to the slow plodding pace of the caterpillar because now I've got the speed and agility of the butterfly. I can't go back to my old caterpillar friends because their expectation of me is the caterpillar version. But I am a butterfly now, and this version of me is the best version of me that there has ever been. And so I refuse to go back. I refuse to dumb myself down to please them. I refuse to put back on the caterpillar suit to fit in with them. If you're going to roll with me, you've got to cocoon yourself and grow some wings, because I can't carry you to where I am. I can't carry you to where God has called me to be. But I will be there in the cocooning season of your life, right outside the cocoon, protecting you in your most vulnerable state. Hey, give them some grace. They're not what they used to be, but they're not what God has called them to be, but they are becoming a butterfly. See, it is our job as a church to give grace, to give space, and to start the transforming process. Then it is our job to surround those that are in that season and protect them from old enemies, protect them from new enemies. I've known people that are struggling with drugs. It is impossible to break that habit unless they get new friends, because it's always going to be so easy for you to go back to what is comfortable. And those dealers will make it easy. Hey, I'll float you a couple pills until you can pay me. Come on, somebody. The enemy's always willing to float and let you IOU it. But I am here to tell you, as a church, I want to be a pastor. We want to be a leader that surrounds you and tells that dealer, hey, that person doesn't live here no more. You've got the right address and the wrong person. That person doesn't exist, and you can't stay here. But we've got to make that decision, church. that I'm gonna go through the transforming process no matter what it takes. I remember what it was like going from single to married. That's a tough transition. Kidless to having kids, that's a tough transition. Kids talking back, that's a tough transition. We celebrate their first word, and then we roll our eyes the rest of our lives. Any growth takes a season of metamorphosis. And any metamorphosis that you can do without Jesus will not last. It will not last. But when Jesus is the center and the Holy Spirit fills us and we stand on his word, metamorphosis can happen. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. When is that day? The Bible says no man knows the hour or knows the time. Until Jesus splits the eastern sky, he said, I am performing and I am transforming. And anybody who wants to be transformed, I am here for it. I'm a new creation. I'm not going back. Check that. It's not that I'm not going back. I can't go back to how it used to be or how or who I used to be. I've just got a couple minutes here. Let's go to John chapter 6. It's one of my favorite passages because it shows the humanity of some of Jesus' closest followers. I'm talking to people in this room and online today that you have had questions about your walk with God this week. You've had questions when it comes to why haven't you been healed yet? You've had questions when it comes to salvation and kingdom and all of these things. The humanity of people, we will always have that as long as we are flesh. But when we are transformed, it begins to answer those questions, sometimes not with the answers we want, but with the answers we need. See, this is where I struggle as a pastor. Because if you come in my office with problem A, B, C, and D, the answer will be the same for all four issues. Jesus, 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 Jesus. But then I have to, as a pastor, break that down and bring practicality to how Jesus can change your marriage, make you a better parent, get you a job, and make you successful. That's my job, to make that and bring practicality into that. But I love John chapter 6, verse 66, because you see two types of disciples. You see the ones that follow Jesus and the ones that left everything and follow Jesus. And there is a difference. There are people in this room and watching online. You follow Jesus. You just follow him from afar. You don't get close enough that he's going to give you a task that you have to say yes to. Well, I really don't want to get too close to the front at Living Web because then they're going to want me to join a ministry. I got news for you. If you're watching this online and it's 2025, April 1st, I still want you to join a ministry. You don't even have to be sitting here when this is being said. You say, why? Because we've got a kingdom call for our city, and we don't want our city going to hell. And so if you get involved, it's going to give us another dimension and more help to reach our city. However, I do know that there are followers that follow from afar, and then there are followers that follow, that have forsaken all, that have given up. This is what the Bible says. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Those would be the followers from afar. Your homework this week would be to go read the preceding verses of this because I don't have time to get into it, but there was some argument on who could be saved, how they would be saved, what they had to do to be saved. Jesus turns around and tells them very plainly all of the answers to their question, and the Bible says because people didn't like what they heard, they left. Check this out. There are people, since I've been preaching, that gathered their stuff up with their families and marched out of the building in the last 25 minutes. While you were amening, they said, that's too much. While I was screaming and hollering, you said, why do you get so? Because I'm talking about life and death issues and I'm talking about my Jesus and I can't talk about it without getting exciting. If your child was running across the parking lot to run out on Interstate 35 at 4 years old, are you going to be like, now, Johnny, come back. That semi-truck is not going to stop for you. You'd be hysterical. You'd run out after him. That's my preaching for 25 minutes on Sunday. I'm watching people walk out onto a busy interstate, or I'm seeing them go down that wide path to destruction. And I'm not going to be there saying, hey, Jesus loves you. Come on back. I'm going to be that one saying, hey, you're headed for hell. But you can be transformed. But there's a reason why some walk that way. And I don't get offended when they leave. You know why? Because if they left for his words, why would I ever be offended that they left for me saying his words? Never apologize for Jesus, what he says, who you are, what you're doing. At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Man, this proves that you can follow Jesus but never be transformed. Some of us have followed Jesus 10 years, 10 months, but we've never been transformed. We come on church this Sunday. Why are you here at church on Sunday? Not for me. You're here for him. You followed him to a building, but you won't be transformed. Maybe you've even followed him to a cross. Maybe you've been baptized in water, yet you are not following Jesus. You're not being transformed. Verse 67, Jesus turned to the 12. He turned now to the disciples that had left things, made sacrifice that it had cost them. And he said, are you also going to leave me? And Simon Peter, I'm going to end right here. We'll pick it up next week. Simon Peter replied. Who replied? Who? Simon Peter. This is going to bless somebody. This might go over somebody else's head. When Jesus meets Simon Peter, he is a failed fisherman named Simon. Jesus then asks a question to the 12 disciples, and he says, who do men say that I am? All the other disciples, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. And he says, okay, that's what they say. What do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon speaks up and says, you are Jesus, the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus turns to Simon and says, you did not hear this from man, but the Holy Spirit has revealed this to you. You came to me as Simon the waver, a reed blowing in the wind, but now you are Peter the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What's the point? He was Simon, and Jesus said, but now you're Peter. But now he calls him Simon Peter. He's not Simon anymore, but he's not Peter just yet. He's stuck in the middle. The cocoon season of life, he's stuck. I'm not like Simon 100%, but man, I haven't stepped into that Peter role yet. You're going to see Peter, all Peter, in Cornelius' house when he preaches and 300 people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, Gentiles. That's when he becomes fully who God has called him to be. But he's stuck in the middle. What do you see here, church? You see Simon Peter in the cocoon. He says, will you leave me? He said, you going to leave me too, 12? This is what Simon Peter says. Where would we go? Because you have the keys, the words for eternal life. Stand on your feet, church. I'll double down on this next week, but I just want to share this with you. Peter, I've always said this. Jesus finds Peter on a boat when he says, follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. After Jesus resurrects, Peter has denied him, has cussed everybody out around the fire. That sounds like Simon to me. The Bible says he goes fishing. He goes and gets in the boat that God called him off of. Takes off all of his clothes and he's swimming naked when the resurrection happens. Jesus shows up, has a conversation. We'll get to that next week. But every time Peter had an issue, he was always running back to that boat, always running back to Caterpillar Simon, always running, cussing people out. That's Caterpillar days. No faith, Caterpillar. Denying Christ, Caterpillar. The best thing Peter could have done is burned his boat the day that Jesus called him off of it. But he left the caterpillar season there. Jesus says, will you leave me too? And in essence, Peter says, I'm in a cocoon. I can't go back to who I used to be. I was a failing fisherman. Said, you hold the keys. You hold my future. The only way I can be transformed and become what you've called me to be is to stay committed to the process and to stay with you. I feel so strong in my spirit. And I was preaching this just like I'm preaching it now. I don't do it often, but I was preaching around the house. My dog got an earful yesterday. Life choices, politics. We talk Wimby and the Spurs. We talk UT. I preached to the dog. I couldn't get it to the altar, but the seed was sown. But I preached this. The more I preached it, the more God said, that's a word for somebody's tomorrow. They're in the cocoon process. And it's so easy to turn back, but I want to tell you, don't quit. Don't stop. I know it's not perfect at your house. Don't throw in the towel. I know you're not what you thought you'd be at this point of 2023. I just want to tell you, don't stop. Don't stop moving forward. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming into God's presence. Don't stop letting God's presence come to you. I want to open this altar right now. I am out of time, but we will make time for everybody in the room that is ready to say, God, I'm ready for the cocoon season. Or maybe, God, I feel like I'm stuck in the cocoon season of my life.